Welcome to the Banana Split Project, the podcast that peels off the skin of westernized Asians born and bred overseas who are now coming back to live in Asia. My name is Viviane, I'm French, as I'm sure you can hear. My parents came from Hong Kong and Indonesia, and I've lived in Singapore since 2006. Today, for our 11th episode and our second one in English, I'm very happy to welcome, for the first time, a married couple. Wilson is Spanish, born and bred in Barcelona, where his parents emigrated from Taiwan, and his wife, Pania, is Thai, but grew up all over the world. She's a perfect example of a third culture kid with high mobility. Today, together, we'll explore their cultural identity, Spanishness, Thai-ness, why they chose to settle in Singapore as a mixed couple, how they relate to their country of origin or not. They will also share personal anecdotes about their colorful wedding and the way their friends perceive them. It's gonna be a fun ride. Enjoy! Hello, Pania, and hello, Wilson, and thank you for being here today with me.
Thank you for inviting us.
It's great to be here.
So let's start with the beginning. I don't know who wants to answer first, but whoever is comfortable goes first. So where do your parents come from, and where were you born and bred?
Ladies first.
Okay, sure. My parents are Thai. I was born in Bangkok, but my father worked in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, so I had quite kind of a multicultural upbringing. So I left Thailand when I was 2, I moved to the Philippines, then I moved to Austria when I was 8, then I moved to Russia when I was 13, and then when I was about 17, I moved to Germany. And it wasn't only until I was about 18, I went back to Thailand to pursue my undergraduate studies.
So you are really what we call a third culture kid with a high mobility and a cross-culture upbringing.
Extremely high mobility. So I did some reflection before the interview. I've actually been to 8 schools throughout my entire life, not including kind of my undergraduate studies. And actually, since living in Bangkok, I've moved to 3 new countries. So I moved to China when I was about 26, then moved to London the year after, and now here we are in Singapore.
So I guess the difficult question for you to answer would be, where's home?
That's always a complicated question. I mean, the very simple answer is Thailand, above all, because that's where, you know, I was born. That's where my parents live. Now that Wilson's become part of my life, we're effectively starting a family. It's effectively where Wilson is now, too. So, you know, who's to say that home has to be one single physical location? Home is anywhere where your people are.
So Wilson, for you, it's a different story because you are Spanish.
Spanish, born and raised, lived most of my life in Barcelona. My parents are from Taiwan. They moved to Spain like 36 years ago. Then I went to college in the UK. I lived in the UK for about 6 years, moved back to Spain, then moved to China where I met Pania. We then moved to London and now in Singapore.
Wow. So you always identified yourself with being Spanish the whole time you were educated there, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And actually, until I was 6-7 years ago, I would always thought I'm one of them, Spanish people. Mm-hmm. But of course, when you grow up and you are more influenced by your family, your roots, you start to identify with where your background comes from, which is, in my case, Taiwan.
So why did your parents come from Taiwan to Barcelona?
So first, you have to meet my dad. He's not a normal person. So he was actually one of the first people to study Spanish in Taiwan. He liked the language. He wanted to improve. He was debating of moving to Argentina or Spain to improve his language. Eventually, he moved to Spain. He loved the country. He made friends in Madrid and Barcelona, and eventually decided that's where he wanted to stay.
So love of the language, love of the culture brought him there, right?
Correct, okay. Yes. Of course, I'm biased, but if you see Barcelona, if you visit Barcelona...
Yeah, I've been there.
It's hard to leave.
And how about your mom?
Yeah, so after he studied Spanish in Valladolid, he was still young, he went back to Taiwan to see what was going to be his next step. He met my mom, they got married, and that's when he wanted to settle. He decided he didn't want to settle in Taiwan, so that's when they moved to Spain.
And you had to follow your dad's
exactly
your dad's mission, right? Because
exactly.
He was working for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, so he was posted wherever you had to follow.
Yes,
so
I did.
So where is the country you spent the most time when you were a child, Pania?
I mean, it was pretty equal between Philippines, Austria and Russia, spent about like 5 or 6 years in each of the different countries.
That's such different countries and cultures. So how did you adjust from one country to another?
When you're a child, I think everything always feels like an adventure, right? So you don't realize how unusual the circumstances are. You just feel that, you know, constantly adapting was just a new adventure for you. Like, so I never felt like I was struggling to adapt in each of the new countries. But I think I also have to say I felt rather insulated. I was probably rather insulated as well. Mm-hmm. So most of my childhood, I went to international schools where they are essentially built to make the landing as soft as possible for the children of expats, in the sense that you have a multicultural environment. Mm-hmm. You have a curriculum which is fairly steady from school to school. Particularly in Russia, you went as an expat, you would go to the same kind of school, you would go to the same kind of supermarket, you would go to the same kind of restaurant. So I felt that in a sense that even though I did live in a lot of different countries, did I fully experience those countries in the way that a local person would? Did I experience Russia, Austria, Germany the same way Wilson had experienced Spain as a true local? Absolutely not.
Okay, you were more in a closely knit and a bit enclave international world of expats, right?
Exactly. So, you know, I always look at Wilson and he celebrates a lot of Spanish holidays. And
yes.
We went to school with Spanish people. Were there some Asians too?
Right. So my case, of course, was very different. First of all, because my parents came from Taiwan and it's a small country, it's not big communities. So we never actually hang out with Asian people at all. Most of my childhood has been with local Spanish people. As an example, my nanny, she was from Andalusia.
Did you suffer from any discrimination?
Surprisingly, I never had any problems with racism. Could be that Barcelona itself is a very cosmopolitan city. But then I would also think that the fact that I was raised quite like a Spanish person, I would say, with a Spanish nanny, Spanish culture, Spanish habits, Spanish mentality, made me adapt more as, let's say, one of them. And the way my personality or the way I interact would feel much more like a local. So maybe the perception outside, of course, I don't look like a Spanish or Western, right? But maybe the way I move or I express myself didn't come to foreign. I know people that have suffered some racism in Spain or Barcelona, but maybe luckily I never had any problem with that.
That's good.
Yeah.
On the contrary, even for me, even though I've lived in a rather insulated environment, I've definitely experienced quite a fair bit of racism growing up, even from a very young age. Even in the international schools I went to, particularly in Austria, still a lot of the students came from a Caucasian background and they didn't understand like why my name was the way that it was. It wasn't something traditional that they've heard before. Why I ate certain foods in the cafeteria. So I would get picked on quite frequently. I would be called names and I never really understood why. And this was, you know, quite a common reoccurrence. Even until I was 18, I faced a significant amount of racism. I don't think that my experience was quite unique to myself. I speak to a lot of my friends in the expat communities who are of Asian descent, and it's quite normal for them as well. But for me, I don't think I'm necessarily scarred by it. I just felt that it was such a normal part of my annoyance or nuisance in my life. So maybe a positive byproduct of that is I myself have fairly thick skin. Not a lot of things that people say externally really bother me, particularly about race. And I don't really get offended for that. In fact, I look at the other person, I feel a little bit sorry because that means that their view of the world seems a little bit skewed and small, that they have nothing to say.
So you were able to respond as a child, because I felt that it's sometimes difficult as a child to recognize that it is an insult or a discrimination or a racism.
I mean, I carried a lot of shame. So maybe one tangible example of that is for Thai people, they have two names. So the name I go by with my friends and people around me is Panya. But my birth name is Demisa, which is, of course, a very unusual name, especially if you go to a place like Austria. And I remember whenever I used to introduce myself in front of a class or when I meet new people, I would get so anxious about saying my name because always one like silly kid would just make a comment that it was, yeah, to me, so what kind of name is that? Over time, because it just happened so frequently, it gradually bothered me less and less because, yes, I expect them to say something. I got used to it. And then ultimately, what does that matter? It doesn't impact my life. Mm-hmm. It didn't impact the friendships I would eventually make. It's just ignorance. And now looking back at that, I think it's very character building. Again, things don't bother me even living in London, I have experienced racism, things that maybe would crush other people if they're not used to it, like they ultimately don't bother me.
Do you think because people are less exposed to meeting Thai people rather than maybe Chinese?
I think that's a big part of it. Something that my other friends had, they're always big groups of, let's say, Koreans hanging out together and Chinese mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. hanging out together. They mm-hmm. had each other's backs. Mm-hmm. For me, I didn't have that Thai community mm-hmm. where I can really rely and really relate to. I think having people around your age of the same culture is kind of critical to understanding that mm-hmm. culture.
So I'm very curious about what kind of language and what kind of culture you had at home.
So in my case, I had influences from different languages. Spanish, I had Catalan, I had Andalusian, mm-hmm. my parents with Chinese, and my parents actually put me in an international nursery, so they were speaking English. It took me some time to learn to speak. I was a bit slow in that sense. Actually, my parents were a bit worried.
Too many languages at the same time.
Gradually, I guess my parents took the decision for me to focus more on learning Spanish. Definitely, Spanish has become my first language. And it hasn't been until I was a bit older that they started to put more of a Chinese influence and to learn Chinese. It's sad to say that up to now, it's even hard for me to communicate in Chinese mm-hmm. Language. So definitely my case has been Spanish first, English second, Chinese third. And you can put Catalan in the middle.
For me, the language I speak with at home is largely English. Spoke English the majority of my life growing up. Thai, I would say I was conversational, but I'm definitely far from fluent, even though I spent my university years there and the first 3 years, 4 years of my professional career. Despite living in Thailand for quite an extensive bit of time, I never picked it up like a native would. I still find it very difficult to write, which I think is a great shame. It makes me less connected with my own culture because mm-hmm. I wasn't able to learn the language properly. Mm-hmm. And it's a very strange phenomenon for me as a adult Thai person to learn my own language. Don't really feel like you want to go to school with a bunch of foreigners to learn Thai.
So you're foreign in your own country.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
So how do Thai people perceive you then? Are they understanding?
Thai people as a society general are quite tolerant, right? Quite tolerant, very kind, very understanding. A lot of my best friends are Thai. They sort of understand where I come from. So I've never really had an issue from that standpoint. But yes, when I meet a normal Thai person, everyday person, they sort of question why I am the way that I am. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't I raised to learn Thai properly? And three, why didn't I have the drive to actually learn Thai? And for me, I'm 30 years old now. I think learning a new language from what I am now to fluency is extremely difficult. And I feel like I've managed so far. So if it works, it works.
So what brought you to Singapore?
Well, it was a bit of a journey. We actually met in China. Then from China, we went to London and now in Singapore. And there's two components of here in this equation. Of course, the professional side. After working in China, you see how Asia is growing, the opportunities here in Asia compared to Europe. Also, the fact that we got together and it felt like probably from her side, she was more inclined to be closer to Asia than maybe at that point me closer to Europe. It made sense to come to Singapore as a middle ground. At the end of the day, Singapore is Asia, but it's quite westernized. It's mm-hmm. easy. You can speak with in English. There's mm-hmm. many job opportunities.
I mean, just to take it a step further, for me, it wasn't necessarily about coming back to Asia. It was about thinking about a city that reflected who me and Wilson were as a couple. And I think the defining feature for us is that culturally, we feel both very Western and very mm-hmm. Eastern as well. Mm-hmm. Singapore really encapsulates that. There's a strong local melting pot of so many ethnicities. You have a fairly large expat community as well. We were at the stage of our relationship when we were thinking about, we had just got engaged and we mm-hmm. wanted to start a family. I started thinking about what is the type of environment I want to raise our children in. And Singapore seemed like the perfect solution. So definitely, I think it is fair to say that we will likely have the first babies here. Mm-hmm. I think one of the good things about me and Wilson as a couple and what our parents have really given us is that we're fairly adaptable. So the thought of me moving to Spain in 5 years doesn't necessarily scare me or worry me. The thought of living in Asia in 5 years probably doesn't necessarily scare Wilson as well. So I guess the short answer.
Citizen of the world.
TBC. Yeah, TBC. We don't mind.
We've had quite a roller coaster journey. I never imagined that was going to be in Singapore at this stage of my life. She didn't imagine she would be in London 1 year ago. At this point of the game, seems like Singapore is a place that we could be for a few years.
But have you already thought about what kind of school you want to send your child to, what kind of a language you're going to speak at home? I guess English, right? That seems natural. But is it very natural for you, Wilson, to speak only English? I'm asking because I can feel the Spanish side in you coming out.
Yes, so of course, definitely English is not my first language.
You speak it beautifully.
Thank you very much. The fact that we got together, I took the conscious decision of raising a family with her, definitely means that the main language that we're going to have at home is going to be English, right? From my side, as you say, like I do feel quite Spanish, and my roots and personality and my character, even my tastes are more Spanish. Eventually, for me, ideally, we would like to go back to Spain, or at least for our kids to also have that sense of a connection with Spain, to understand firstly where I come from, what made me who I am.
Because for me, it feels less important because being Thai isn't a crucial part of my identity. Mm-hmm. It's not important to me at the moment that my kids learn how to speak Thai to go to Thai schools, but definitely for Wilson, he's lived there all through his childhood up until he was 18. And the challenge for us is that when we think of our expat friends from France and like Spain who live here, their children who are Caucasian, their children will look like them. They will look French. They will look Spanish. Our children will not look Spanish, but their father will strongly identify as someone who is Spanish. And it's so important to him. So we think a lot about, you know, how do we instill this sense of Spanishness into our children? Is it a matter of making sure that they're surrounded by Spanish expats? Is it a matter of sending them back to Barcelona every summer? Should we choose to settle in Asia?
Because there's a French school, for instance. I would make the parallel with the French community that's very strong in Singapore. We have a French school, but there's no Spanish school. Not yet. Maybe we should open one or...
Maybe, yes. Yes. Business model. I think that's also the fact that I guess... Spanish people, per se, they are not so adventurous in this side of the world. There's a big difference between the number of Spanish people here versus French. So probably there's not so much demand for that kind of school. And that happened even also in China or in London. So that's one of the challenges we have.
Exposure to Spanish culture.
Exposure to Spanish environment, Spanish people, Spanish culture, habits. Also, if you think about it, I don't know if my parents had that conversation before. I don't know if they knew that. In my case, I would feel more Spanish than Taiwanese. Maybe our kids would feel more Singaporean if they were born here.
I think it's also quite interesting because they will look more Thai, more Taiwanese. But me and Wilson are not necessarily the best teachers to our children about understanding their roots, right? Wilson has never lived in Taiwan his entire life. For me, even though I've lived in Thailand for some time, I'm not fluent in Thai. A lot of the cultures and customs, even religious practices, feel foreign to me. So even though our children will look a certain way, I'm not sure we're the best people to teach them.
So tell me a little bit how your wedding went and what kind of wedding did you do? Spanish wedding, Thai wedding? How did you manage that?
I think any wedding is a very big hassle, particularly a big strain on the bride to organize. But what was particularly difficult was the logistics of having people from all around the world come to one single location for our special day. Second bit is, how do we make sure that we incorporate various elements of our culture, respecting Wilson's Taiwanese roots, my heritage, his Spanishness. So what we did is, in one single day, we actually had three different traditions melded into one. So in the morning, we had a Thai/Taiwanese ceremony. So I wore a Thai wedding dress, but we did a Taiwanese tea ceremony in respect to his parents. And in the evening, we had a more westernized style reception where I walked down the aisle in the bridal dress. So that's not something that's very normal in Thai culture as well.
Yeah, I'll probably also add, in the morning, we had the traditional Thai engagement process with the games and stuff. Part of that Spanish side, we also had the open bar after party.
Of course.
With drinks until like 5 a.m.
I think what felt very important to us is something that ultimately it's a day to celebrate us starting our family, but also to pay respect to our parents for raising us our entire lives. So we wanted something where everyone felt really comfortable. And I remember something that was so difficult for me, I think for both of us, is understanding our own culture, because I wasn't 100% aware how a Thai wedding should go. I'm not so attached to my own culture. Mm-hmm. And Wilson also didn't really understand how a Thai ceremony should be orchestrated as well. There was a lot of research behind the wedding.
So now that you live in Asia, do you feel more connected to your roots?
I guess you get more identified. And surprisingly, as an example, it was funny, but I've always had milk. And somehow now, since I lived in Singapore, I'm lactose intolerant, which is a very Asian thing, right? So it was
Asian gene.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, which was a funny, well, now I have to drink with just soy milk.
There's even more. So when I first met Wilson, he was a hardcore partier. He can drink until like 5 or 6 a.m. You give him one beer, now he turns bright red.
Yeah. But yeah, jokes aside, I guess on the culture part, the first thing that came to my mind is it's a pity I never got to properly learn Chinese. And second one is also the fact that I really don't understand much of the culture. So many things which are new for me. There's so many things that I actually don't fit. As an example, we just went to a Chinese wedding recently. My brother got married in China with a Chinese wife. There were many things that they were expected from me or my brother, because we look Asian, Chinese or Taiwanese.
They didn't know what to do.
We didn't know. For them, it felt like a disrespectful thing. We never got that environment or that tradition. Apart from that, it's been easy to adapt to living in Singapore. Cannot say the same when we're living in China. That was a bigger shock.
And that was the first time you were properly living in Asia as well.
Yes, that's true. It was the first time when I was 30 that I lived, first time I was living in Asia.
When I moved back to Thailand, it was for university. I attended Chulalongkorn, which is the most traditional Thai university that you can imagine. It was the first major one in the country, so it is a point of pride for every Thai person to attend this university. And I remember my first few weeks feeling like in a constant state of culture shock. There are so many traditions that I didn't understand. So I remember my first few days in Thailand, there's a system of sororities, and in those fraternities or sororities, you're supposed to sing school songs until like 8, 9 p.m. You're supposed to play games. You're supposed to attend every single one of these events by your fraternity or sorority. And I remember not feeling very comfortable because I didn't really understand the language. I didn't really like the hazing aspect where I was yelled at by someone who was a year or two older than me. I chose to skip out, which was quite a big deal at the time. Like, I was getting calls like, you have to come back, you have to come back. And I
asked
myself,
such a rebel.
And I asked myself, like, why do I need to come back? My parents didn't pay for me to go to.
Yeah, you don't like
it. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. My parents pay for me to go to classes, nothing more. And then that's what I said. But yeah, for me, reconnecting with my culture was not a choice. It was something mandatory made by the fact that I did my undergraduate in Thailand. What was interesting was, even though I was placed in such a traditional environment and going back to university in Jula, my struggle wasn't necessarily how do I force myself to fit in into a Thai university setting, but how is it that I keep myself when I am in Thailand. So not necessarily going all the way, learning how to speak the language fluently. How do I make friends that understood me and accepted me for who I was? How do I participate in activities without conforming 100% to what people expect a Thai girl to be like? So yeah, there was some level of adaptation, but making sure that I am the person that I was for 18 years was still intact.
It's a big reverse shock, actually.
It was a reverse shock. It was a good decision on my parents' side to make me go back to university in Thailand. Some of my best friends in the entire world come from that university. And even though I never really felt like I fully fit into that university, I never really felt like I fit into Thai culture. I was still glad that I was able to at least rediscover a part of myself while still keeping who I was in Thailand.
Would you have preferred to attend a different university somewhere else? Because you could, right?
I could have. Actually, it was a point of contention with my parents, because when I was 18, all I desperately wanted was to go to university in the United States or in the United Kingdom. The thought of going back home terrified me. I was crying for weeks before I went back to Thailand, because it's a country that I've never really known for 18 years. And then I was thrust into going into the most traditional university in Thailand, where you wear uniforms every single day.
Yeah.
It just felt very irrelevant to me. And it didn't feel like a point of pride in the beginning to go to this university, even though I'm a very proud graduate today. So yes, extremely difficult, but I've never regretted that decision because of the friends that I have today. But one thing I did still struggle with is, because I look Thai,
And I think there's a certain set of expectations that come when you're a Thai woman, certain character traits which are more favorable in Thai society, being softer spoken, perhaps being a little bit more polite and submissive than I am in day-to-day life. I never felt like I fit in. And even today, my friends still look at me as a foreigner rather than a Thai person.
Is there a country where you would say you feel most comfortable?
You know what's interesting about society today is that that question might have been relevant 10, 15, 20 years ago, but now there's so many cities in the world that have become such hotspots for expats mm-hmm. that there's almost even a subculture in every major city that you go to of people who are more or less like us. People are internationally minded, very high mobility. So we feel very comfortable in Singapore just because there's so many people who have had the same kind of backgrounds, the same kind of experiences that we have. So very easy to relate to. Once you kind of find that community, it becomes very easy to integrate into the city, I would say. I would not necessarily find one place for us where we felt 100% comfortable, though.
Right. Well, here the question is, as an individual, like you said, individual as a couple, right? Of course, as a couple, Singapore ticks all the boxes. And that's why we made this decision of probably stay longer compared to when we were in China or London. Individually, it's quite easy to see that for me, it's always going to be Barcelona or Spain. My family is there. My best friends are there. The restaurants I like are there. The food I like is over there. I know the streets. I know the hidden places. I know the beach, the mountains.
Everything you like.
Yes. And it's not just like, it's also it's your comfort zone. My old bed, it feels more comfortable than the best five-star hotel bed I can find, right? Because you have that that comfort that that place gives you. Of course, I'm very happy in Singapore and it makes a lot of sense for us. But individual, of course, for me, it's always going to be like a Barcelona.
For me, discomfort is the norm. Let's put it that way. I grew up in so many different countries growing up. It is not a usual feeling for me where I feel 100% at ease in the country that I'm living in. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a good thing because it means that I'm always going to look at the next adventure and I'm always going to look at every new challenge as something that's positive. Or new things don't scare me. That being said, the closest areas to home so far is that, you know, definitely Thailand because my parents are there and definitely here in Singapore because Wilson's here. It's quite funny because these days, because of my job, I'm shuttling back and forth from Thailand to Singapore a lot. And when I'm in Thailand, I tell my parents, oh, I need to go home this week to Singapore. And when I'm in Singapore, I tell Wilson, oh, I have to go back home for a work trip.
It's good to have different homes in different countries in the world. I think that's what the world is going towards too, being more and more globalized anyway, and people are more and more mixed. And so I think we covered pretty much a lot of themes that I wanted to. I'm going to wrap up with a simple question and that I'm asking to everyone. What is the concept of banana?
For example, for me, so the first time I heard about the banana was actually not too long ago. From the outside, you look Asian, but in the inside, you strongly feel you're more Western. I think also it depends on where you are, right? Here in Singapore, this concept banana, I don't see it as much as, for example, when we're in China. Mm-hmm. Here, even the Singaporeans, they're very
Westernized
themselves. So many times I wouldn't see big difference between me or Singaporean, right? Also, Singaporeans, they have a lot of heritage from different countries, Malaysia, China, mm-hmm. India.
I think for me, the word banana, kind of the concept of banana is a sign of the times. I think people like us were so unusual and probably a bit of a novelty like 20, 30 years ago, like during our parents' generation. But our experience seems very universal now. So many people that exist on the spectrum of like Westernness or like Easternness. So, but even though conceptually I understand what people mean when they say banana in that sense, I don't necessarily feel that I'm white on the inside. I don't want to put myself in a box identified by single ethnicity or single nationality. I feel that the experiences that we have are quite varied. I'm a little bit yellow on the outside, but all sorts of colors on the inside.
I love colors.
What I find so interesting about the concept of being yellow on the inside and white on the inside is that...
outside.
Yellow on the outside, white on the inside is that are there certain personality traits or certain cultural traits that are associated to being white. Because for me, is the white experience, the yellow experience, brown, black, whatever color you have, are there certain associations with that that we have to adhere to? Because there's so much variety in human nature, right? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the, not really issue, that's the question I have with the concept of being banana, because even though I am maybe not like a Thai person, and even though I feel very multicultural on the inside, I don't know what kind of box that would put me into.
I know, it's a new box. I think we are creating a whole new box ourselves. And yeah, mixed kids, in a high mobility world.
Yeah, for me, it's just a spectrum. But again, it's just sort of something that I would challenge. But again, it's going to be a great adventure finding out for me and Wilson, particularly as we have children.
And the last question, do you have any anecdote to share, funny anecdote as to any quiproquo that happened to you?
Yes, of course, I guess everyone gets surprised. So going back to my origins, right? So my friends are very Spanish. Mm-hmm. The first time I introduced her to my friends, on the first day they met, they took her to like a fun or crazy shots bar.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yes, exactly. And something probably like you would not...
Okay. That's very Spanish.
Yeah, that's like very Spanish, okay. Right? And this is like when I met your friends in Thailand, which is more like formal, a bit more like
soft.
They're very ladylike. I think maybe this more of a funny anecdote is, of course, when you think of Asian men, there's a stereotype that they can't dance. I remember we went out with Wilson for the first time, and Wilson has that Spanish soul inside of him, and he started doing his like little salsa move. So all my friends were standing at him open jawed, like, what is this? Wow. What happened?
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for sharing all of
it. Thank you very much.
Wonderful to have you, and I'm very happy to have you today.
No, thank
you so much.
Yes, it's been also very good for us to like
open a dialogue.
Exactly, open the dialogue, and I'm sure other people would want to join and share, and please contact me.
Thank you again for tuning in today. And if you like this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and give us some stars. If you want to know more about our guests and see their faces, go to our Instagram and Facebook pages at banana.split.project for video bonuses. Bye!